Hi, welcome to Project Geospatial. I'm Adam Simmons, and here with me are the women in Geospatial. And those key members are Olivia and Julia. Olivia and Julia, can you tell us who the women in Geospatial are, but first, who you are and what you do there?
I think Julia should start.
Go for it.
Okay, sorry. Good. So, yes, my name is Julia Wegemann. I am currently a geospatial consultant, a PhD student at University of Marburg, and also a visiting scientist at the European Center for Medium Range Weather Forecasts.
And my name is Olivia Powell. I'm a GIS manager for a police service in the southwest of England. So looking after all the GIS and mapping for policing purposes.
That's impressive. So before we talk about some of that a little bit, what is the Women in Geospatial group and how did that get started? Who wants to answer that one? Go ahead,
Julia.
Women
in Geospatial is a professional network to promote gender equality in the geospatial industry and academia. We in principle want to change the status quo by creating a strong network of women in geospatial and bringing women plus, not only women, but also underrepresented genders together to embrace change and change the status quo.
What was the catalyst for getting that up and running? What not just for why you're doing this, but what said, hey, we need to put this together?
So, I mean, personally, I've been working in the male-dominant industry for quite a while, and I'm also a mum of two boys, so I'm completely surrounded by men all the time. And that's not a bad thing. What I'm thinking is that about 2017-18, in my organization, I recruited some women, not specifically women, but it happened to be that they were women, applying for being volunteers for the police service as GIS officers, and I was really kind of inspired by the way they kind of were selfless and giving out their time. And at the International Women Day in 2018, yeah, Julia dropped, I think. I thought I'll kind of celebrate their contribution as women in geospatial, and then the idea started growing. And it's not until International Women Day in 2019. That I thought, I think we should start something, because it's actually quite nice to have female company in the office. But anyway, and I felt quite isolated. It made me realize that. So I wanted to start something, but actually Julia, who now dropped, unfortunately, had already started posting on Twitter about starting a group. And within a couple of days, 300 women had already showed interest. Then we thought, let's just roll with it and see how it goes. And then now we've a year in, we've got more than 1,000 members. We've got more than 3,000 Twitter followers, and it is growing quite rapidly. So obviously there's a need for it. We have a Slack channel. A lot of people feedback how really great it is to have that kind of support network now. And so we're just trying to kind of carry on and offer that support to other women who might feel a bit isolated.
No, that's amazing. And I'll say you all have a very put together website for this initiative. How many people are in the group right now that help manage and staff it beyond the members?
I think we're probably about 30 women across the world that are actively contributing. So we've got a few volunteers doing different jobs. We've got the website team. We've got different kind of streams of work, effectively. It's not very official yet, but we're trying to get organized. We have someone is working on the speaker database. We'll talk about that later, I think. So we all have our own little jobs. We try to organize events and we post that on. So there are probably about 30 to 50 really active members and taking, you know, a role in the organization. Well, network, I'd say, because it's not an organization yet.
Well, you certainly fooled me, because it definitely looks like one. And you all are doing a great job on Twitter, and once again, bringing members in, because didn't you reach a 1,000 member milestone recently?
Yeah. So 1,000 members, and we've got about maybe 700 people on the Slack workspace. We've got more than 3,000 Twitter followers, I think, and more than 1,500 LinkedIn followers. So yeah, it's growing fast.
So talk to us about what kind of resources do you have with the group for women right now, and helping out with advocacy?
So at the moment, I think our main, the key tool that we have is our Slack workspace. And this is like offered to members when they register. So we might have male registering to be members, but actually the Slack workspace is predominantly for women and underrepresented groups. And in that Slack workspace, we have quite a lot of channels. So we have support for, we've got a mentoring scheme, we've got regional channels. So if people from all over the world want to kind of do a more of a local meetup, we have a channel that talks about small and independent businesses. So for people that are more freelance, so they can kind of pull support from each other. We have, can I have a look at it now? We have a technical channel, so it's trying to help each other with technical questions. But also, some volunteers have led a Python learning group, so they kind of learn together. So we've got quite, and then we've got obviously jobs. We advertise jobs, or we kind of share news or events that are going on. So we try to kind of keep a kind of live, loads of different resources effectively for women. What we're going to try to do as well is find out, now we've got more members, is find out more what is needed, so we can focus on maybe some areas that are more required by our members.
Awesome. Now, great. That's incredible. So you mentioned a couple projects that you might have coming up. Can you go into that a little bit? Such as?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
So one of our main projects is obviously to register the network as an organization. So we're looking into that at the moment, a nonprofit organization. So that's kind of a lot of paperwork. So we're taking it, you know, seriously and slowly to make sure we do it right. And there's also another project ongoing at the moment that we were hoping to release soon, is our Women in Geospatial Speakers database. So this is to help women register and give them the opportunity to have a profile to be able to speak at organization or organize events, and to enable the organizers of events to find women to try to avoid having what they call male panels, all male panels in organizations, and increase diversity, basically. So Julia's back. I was just talking about the speakers database.
Yes, hello. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no problem, Julia. So Olivia gave us a great overview of things and started to talk about various projects. Julia, you yourself have mentioned the speakers database has come up, and you're working together to put that speakers database together, correct?
Yes, basically, yes. We're working currently on a speakers database, and there's what Olivia already said. There's a great need on promoting and making women speakers in the geospatial industry more visible, because a common excuse of there have been a couple of events last years where large organizations in the geospatial industry organized panel discussions and with 9 or 10 male only participants, and the common excuses are, yes, we just couldn't find any women or any women in the industry. And so with the speakers database, we want to, the aim is twofold. So first of all, to not having this excuse anymore. So this will not be able to have this excuse anymore, because we say, hey, there's a great database with many experienced, talented and skilled women in geospatial. And the second is to also give, to encourage women to set up their speaker profile, to get out, to show their skills and also their talents and also the great work they do.
That's great. So how soon do you think you'll have that online, or what's the timeline for this?
Oh, quite soon. So it will be in two phases. The first phase will be that we just open registration, so women can start filling in their profile, their information, etc. And then after 2 months, we will...
Well, there she goes.
Well, I could pick up on that. So basically, we have started the registration phase. So that's to send it to women to fill their profile. So we have a good cohort of speakers to start with, and then we'll open it to for people to be able to search on the database for event organizers. So I think the plan is to launch it in 2 or 3 months, if depending on how much entries we've got, how many entries.
So I want to bring it up to our audience real quick that both of you are broadcasting from the UK right now. So we have a little bit of a delay, but not only that, because of the current crisis going on in the world, I'm sure everybody's on the internet right now and making things difficult for a few of us. So that's why we're having so many connection issues between individuals. But I appreciate the audience's patience as well as your own, Olivia and Julia, even though she can't hear me. So with that said, thank you for answering that question. As a follow-on, I want to get into your partnerships, really. So what kind of companies have you partnered with, and how has the advocacy been for involvement with members in different countries as well? You know, what kinds of outreach are you helping them out with from where you are? And does that require a lot of travel on your part right now? How's that work out?
So because we're quite a fluid organization, I think the way it works is actually people from different parts of the countries are picking up or volunteering to kind of be the advocate in that country. So I'm maybe looking specifically more obviously about the UK. Julia is actually from Germany. She's in Germany now, but she's actually should be in Italy. So she's kind of doing that there. And then any kind of event that we're going to, we start raising the profile. So it's more of a, I don't know how to explain it, but it's like lots of little advocates running around and spreading the word to start with. And then by doing that, we're kind of picking up some associations or networks that are already existing that are actually interested in working with us. So again, because we're not an entity as such, an organization as such, we can't really, we haven't partnered with more private geospatial companies, but at the moment it's more about, so for example, in the UK, we have the Royal Geographical Society, so I'm liaising with them to kind of work together so they can advertise about our network, but also we can help them with the more women in geography field. We've got a government and geography network, which I'm liaising to. So there's loads of different things like this that, you know, we're trying to kind of start liaising and working. At least they know, they're aware that we exist, and then we could take it from there when we start being more of an entity. I could see someone saying that, is there a US chapter or advocate?
Can you answer that?
On the stream chat. This is a good question. I can find out. We've got a few American women in the steering group, actually.
Well, in the directory, on the Women in Geospatial website, do you list out the advocates or active members for folks to look up where they can
find out more? I'd say the easiest thing to do, really, is to join by go on the website and fill the form to join in. And then they will be invited to come into the Slack channel, the chat workspace. Sorry, that's my phone at home. And then they'll be able to join the regional group. So there'll be a US, North America regional channel, and they can find people that are from that. We know we've got Don Wright, for example, from Esri Inc., a very prominent woman in GIS. So she's part of our network as well. So, you know, there's loads of there's a really talented women to chat with. And because the Slack community is more about interaction, it makes you feel like you can reach out to all these women. So it's really inclusive. It's really good. I'd say that's the first step. And then we might have to advertise maybe a single spot, you know, point of contact. But at the moment, because we're all volunteers, it might be a little bit difficult to pinpoint one person.
No, that's understandable. So with that, I want to ask you if there is there any training that you're offering women or connections to training programs through the Women in Geospatial group?
Yes, so we have...
And I mean that is not just, I mean also with unique to the geospatial industry too, right? So training up on skill sets, you know, just GIS applications, that type of thing.
Yeah, so on our chat channel, we've got a training / CPD room, and we do advertise any like the MOOC, for example, that come available, whether it's, in any country really, any references that are available, we kind of advertise. But we also have this more technical programming, Python and R working groups.
Yes.
So that's kind of working together. So you've got the support with each other to learn as opposed to trying to do it on your own. So things, little initiatives start like this, and then we'll, you know, refine it as we go along because we're still very young. But there's definitely a very good support network already in place for skill set. There's a lot of work in the geospatial industry. I think this is more globally about what skill set are required to grow and project ourselves in the future. This is not just a women in geospatial question. So, and I know that, for example, in the UK, we have a geospatial commission that has just been created, and that's one of the key problems they're trying to find out is what are the skills that we need to focus on to make sure that we can grow as an industry. So we're kind of trying to contribute to that, but we're not trying to kind of reinvent the wheel, if you see what I mean.
Absolutely. So with that said, do you have any additional plugs that you want to give for the group, I think, before we wrap up?
Yeah, so I'd say we have a Twitter channel. So if they follow us, we retweet stuff. We have already loads of partnership with, for example, African Women in GIS and Women in GIS in America. So we also have the LinkedIn group, so they can join in that. And we do do quite regular profiles of women in the network to kind of try to inspire younger generation and see what we can do and what are the different fields that we work in. That's actually quite, I mean, this is one of my personal, not mission, but, you know, to kind of show that actually there's so many applications of geospatial and in so many industries that it's very exciting place to be, really. So it's to kind of show these, I guess, those graduates that do geography or more geospatial studies, how they can tap in so many roles in various industries. So we do also have like specific groups about industries as well, like specialized groups. So I'd say just follow us and join in. When we have our speakers database, put yourself forward, because that's how we're going to make sure that, you know, geospatial events are diverse.
Well, I say wrap up, but I do have one more quick topic to bring up, and I want to understand what advice would you give young women who are aspiring in their careers or trying to make career decisions? What advice would you have to give them right now?
I don't know if my advice is the wisest advice.
Or suggestions, just lessons learned from what you're doing and some words of inspiration, because in a lot of ways, that's what your group is, inspiration for women to move forward in their careers and what they're doing right now.
Yeah, I think this is a great time to be. The industry is getting diverse, definitely. So it's the best time for us to actually reach out to each other and help each other. And I'd say I find this community super supportive. It gives me ideas about what I can do at work. It's only by actually reaching out to other people that you find what you want to be. But mostly, I'd say, just follow your passion. That's what makes the world tick in. Therefore, just go for it. And then if you're not sure, always ask a question. Not long ago, I was helping someone on the Slack channel about becoming a crime analyst and what she needed to, because that's what my background is, and what she needed to maybe learn herself to be able to get those jobs. So there's always someone here that'll be able to help with some advice specifically to people's problem. I mean,
that's good to know. And just to have that support group, in a lot of ways, I'm jealous because there isn't, I think it's very difficult for anybody in their career to figure out where they can go for advice, but that's incredibly useful. So with that said, I'm sorry Julia's dropped out on us several times, but we hope to have Julia and your colleague Sabrina on at one point to talk about the group as well, follow up with some of the projects you're doing and how the movement is going forward. Maybe you will become an organization at some point in the near future. But I appreciate you having coming on with us, Olivia, and talking about women in geospatial. It's been a pleasure.
Can I just add that basically Julia is the one that started it all, so it's really sad that we can have her on, but we're all very grateful for her kickstarting the whole process and being able to kind of give us the opportunity to be an excellent group, basically.
That's awesome. That's great. Once again, my name is Adam Simmons of Project Geospatial, here with Olivia Powell, a key member in the Women in Geospatial Plus. We'll have your other colleagues on in the near future. Thank you very much, Olivia.
Thank you very much.
Project Geospatial is a podcast hosted by Adam Simmons and Mason Rothman, dedicated to increasing awareness of geospatial technology, education resources, and industry best practices. Our show is comprised of industry professionals who discuss diverse topics such as new geospatial projects, innovations, and resources that benefit the overall community. If you're an industry professional, reach out to us. We'd love to hear your feedback or have you on the show. Listen in and check us out at projectgeospatial.com.